Bibles, if you have one today, Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7. I'd like to say this Wednesday night, Brother Mike will be doing a live stream video from the church at 7:30. Hope you'll tune in. I'm scheduled to be at Calvary Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia this week in camp meeting. And Brother Brian Calhoun there, and they're nice folks at Calvary in Noonan. Be starting at 7 o'clock if you'd like to go to that meeting. And I think you would enjoy the services. But you pray for us. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7, verse number 21. I love to hear them Bibles turning this morning. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You may be seated this morning. I won't preach out of this simple subject out of verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I won't preach this morning on this simple subject on, does Jesus know you? Does Jesus know you? I hear a lot of folks say that they know Jesus. Jesus is very popular. Jesus has been well publicized. Jesus wrote the Bible. There's been more sermons preached about Jesus than any man that has ever lived. There's been more songs sang about this man Jesus than any man that's ever lived. I'm sure you know about Jesus, but I want to take the Word of God and ask you this morning, does Jesus know you? Does Jesus know you? I want to ask you, first of all, does Jesus know you by acceptance? By acceptance. Let's look at Mark's Gospel. Chapter number 1 today, verse 14, preaching on, does Jesus know you? He said, depart from me, for I never knew you. It's not that he was not aware of you, but there was not an intimate relationship that was ever established. So I want to ask you today, does Jesus know you by acceptance? Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible says this, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. I'm glad there's a gospel today. What's the gospel? It's the death and the burial resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Here's a phrase, repent ye and believe the gospel. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people that they have this head knowledge of Jesus, but their heart has never repented unto Jesus. Can I tell you, a man that is born again by the grace and the truth of God, the Bible requires repentance, and that this simply means an abrupt change. You was going this direction, but now you're going this direction. Can I tell you, Jesus will change your direction this morning. I hear a lot of people say, well, just confess Jesus and just believe and live any old way. That's not in our Bible. A man must repent of his sins. There's a lot of confusion in the day and in the hour. You don't hear much preaching as John the Baptist preached on repent ye, for Jesus is at hand. It lets me know that I'm a sinner in the need of a Savior. Honey, nobody's got to teach us to do wrong. Somebody's got to teach us to do right. And here, does Jesus know you? Does He know you by acceptance? So we see, first of all, repentance is involved. Someone called me out not long ago and said, your preacher's not preaching right because he's saying that you must repent to be saved. I'll let Jesus do the talking for me. Jesus said, if you all don't repent, you shall all likewise perish. We better see what the Word of God says if we're going to heaven this morning. Does Jesus know you? There must be an acceptance. Does He know you by acceptance? We see the acceptance of repentance, but then let's look secondly in Romans chapter number 10. Not only this thing of repentance, but let's look at this thing of reception. Romans 10 and verse number 9. Has there ever been a time that you received Jesus as your Savior in your heart? Romans chapter number 10. The Bible says this in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I tell you, God does not look at souls by skin color. God looks at souls as individual. And He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If a man believes in his heart, you must realize, I must have realized that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. And not only does salvation require repentance, but it requires reception. The Bible said in John's Gospel, chapter number 1. Let's look what the Bible says, John 1, verse number 11. John 1, 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. The Jews didn't receive Him. Watch this. But as many as received Him, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Does God know you? Does Jesus know you? Does He know you by repentance? Has there ever been a time that you turned from yourself and this old ungodly world and followed Jesus? Has there ever been a time that you received Him? Look what the Bible says. But as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. Man has a choice in order to receive the Savior. You're not a puppet. You're not a robot. You're a person that has responsibility before God to receive what He done for you through Jesus on the old rugged cross. Does Jesus know you? You say, oh, preacher, I know about Jesus. That's not what I'm preaching about. I want to ask you, does Jesus know you? Let me bring it down to this light. What's our governor's name in Georgia? Somebody holler down, need some help. Who's our governor? Brian Kemp. A lot of people know Brian Kemp, but does Brian Kemp know you? Oh, I know Brian Kemp. I know Jesus. Oh, I know all about Brian Kemp. Oh, is he in your cell phone? You see what I'm talking about this morning? Many people's heard about Jesus. They know about Jesus. But does Jesus know you? Does Jesus know you by acceptance? The Bible speaks of repentance. And the Bible's dogmatic. about repentance. The Bible speaks of reception. Then John 3 and 3, the Bible speaks of regeneration. John 3, verse number 3. One of the most religious men in the country come to Jesus. His name was Nicodemus. The Bible said, Jesus answered and said to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except what? A man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now what did Jesus just say? Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. I don't care how much money you give to the church. I don't care how many tracts you hand out for Jesus. You must be born again. You don't hear this preached much anymore. But if I'm going to be an old-time preacher, then I need to be an old-time preacher. If we're going to have an old-time church, we better preach old-time doctrine. Jesus said it wasn't an option. You must be born again. You're not going to heaven unless you get born again. So Nicodemus had a question. He got confused. He said, "Now, wait a minute. You've told me I got to be born again, and I'm an old man. And so, Jesus, I got this question for you." He said, verse 4, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," or what's that, preacher? "You've got to be born of an earthly mother, a earthly mother. You got to be born naturally of water. Every one of us that was born in this world, in our mother's womb, we were wrapped with water. So we must be born earthly by water and watch and of the Spirit." Now he clears it up. He cannot enter in the kingdom of God. Now watch, here it is. "That which is born of the flesh," talking about the water, "and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit." You must be born again by the Spirit of God. "Marvel not," look what Jesus said. You folks got them Bibles, got red writing in it. "Marvel not that I said that you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth." You look that up. You know what that means? It means it goes where it's sent. I still believe and I still preach that the Spirit of God must convict the sinner. Some of you sat under that tabernacle. I preached the other morning. Get ready, get ready, get ready. You thought it was the preacher messing with you. Honey, that ain't the preacher messing with you. That's the Spirit of God dealing with your heart, giving you life and eternity. I'm glad the Spirit knocks on our heart and not only convicts us, but convinces us. Man, when that old preacher come in my house that Saturday morning, I didn't have God on my mind. You know what I was doing? I was rolling me up a bag of weed. Are you kidding me? I didn't have God on my mind. I sat on a brown Naga hide couch. Didn't even have leather. Me and Miss Renee, we had a vinyl couch. You sat on it, you slide in the floor. Somebody say amen. I sat there and looked out the door. I said, "Oh my word, that's that old preacher." He walked up on the door and he walked in. He said something to me. He said, "Ken, I want to ask you, have you ever been saved?" And when that man of God said that, Brother Mike, something happened to me, never happened to me before. The Spirit of God began to work in my soul. I'd heard sermons all my life, but the Spirit of God had never dealt with me like this. I lied to him. "Sure I am. I'll tell you anything if you'll just leave. Let me smoke my weed." Somebody shake your head up and down. May be too plain for you. I'm just telling you where I've been and where I am. Brother Randall, something happened that Saturday. When no man of God left, the Spirit of God stayed. And it began to work in my heart. And you ought to thank God that He's working in your heart this morning. Boy, that morning I stepped out by faith at Sandy Flat Baptist Church. Nobody knowed I was lost, but I knowed I was lost. I had the right kind of haircut. Married one of the greatest girls in Bowden, Georgia. She knew I was lost. I couldn't quit doing what I was doing. But you asked her about it today, she'd say, I'll tell you one thing that happened to Ken. Ken ain't perfect, but Ken got saved. Does Jesus know you by acceptance? You know what I said that Sunday morning? This is all I said. I believe you can take the Word of God and lead people to Christ. I understand that. This is all I did. The Spirit of God is leaving me. The old preacher priest said, if you'd come, Jesus, save you. And when my foot done that, my life changed. And the Spirit of God come and lived in me from that day on. And now when I do wrong, He lives in me. And He shows me when I do wrong. He's never left me, but I've left Him. Like that little boy flying the kite way up high. Old man got out and said, son, what in the world are you doing? That string tied on your finger. He said, I'm flying a kite. He said, I don't see no kite. He said, it's way up yonder. He said, I can't see it. He said, well, you might not conceal it, but I know it's there because it's a pulling on me. Can I tell you this morning, I'm glad the great God of this Bible lives in my heart. And I'm glad from time to time He pulls on me. Does Jesus know you? Does Jesus know you by acceptance? Secondly, does Jesus know you by associations? Who do you run with? You lay with dogs, you're going to catch fleas. I'm not preaching a hatred gospel. I'm just saying when you get saved, you'll have that old crowd you was hanging with. You won't be comfortable with them no more. I was playing golf one day. I wouldn't judge this boy. He got in my golf cart with a drink. It bothered me. It bothered me. I wasn't going to judge him. And, you know, all they've heard is, Christians think they're better than somebody else. I can't be around stuff like I used to. It bothers me. And it ought to bother you. Does Jesus know you by acceptance? Does Jesus know you by association? Look in 1 John. Let's look in Colossians chapter 1. Y'all bear with me now. I ain't preached here in 12 weeks. Bear with me. It's good to hear amens instead of thumbs up. And frowny faces. Some old boy from California kept throwing me them frowny faces. I wish you'd come up on into Bowden, Georgia and get you some preaching one morning. You little liberal snowflake. Colossians 1. Verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and a love which you have to all the saints. Number one, does He know you by association, by your love of the saints? I love the saints of God. Now, y'all ought to be proud of me the way I'm conducting myself through this crisis. But it's hard for me to greet you like this. I love the saints. I love the children. They're so simple. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us something about our associations. 1 John 3, verse number 11. Turn to the right in your Bibles. 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 11. One of the greatest verses in the New Testament, 1 John 3. Verse number 11. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Do you get that, church? Not as Cain, who was that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not at my brethren if the world hates you. We know that we, watch this, underline it. We know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Does he know you by association? Do you love the saints of God? Who are you running with? Listen, I know people grow. It's all through the New Testament. There's some on milk. There's some on meat. There's some between there. But I'm going to tell you what this Word of God says. If Jesus really lives in you, you can't do sin long and be happy with it. It's impossible for you to practice a lifestyle of sin and be comfortable with it. It's impossible. Now, we all make mistakes. Amen. I'm full of them. Associations, we're to love the saints. Number two, Psalms 122:1. Not only should we love the saints, we should love the sanctuary. Psalms 122. I want you to look at this one verse, and I'm not going to preach much longer. Psalms 122. Psalms 122. Did Jesus know you by association, the love of the saints and the love of the sanctuary? Psalms 122. I was glad when they said unto me, look, let us go into the house of the Lord. Who have you invited to church? I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I love church. Thank God for the church. Let me tell you the reason the churches has not been labeled essential. There's not been enough preachers stand up against sin to make it essential. Church is essential. I love the sanctuary. I remember the first Sunday evening, we had the periods, the big storm come up. We had to come into church. I remember what folks said when they come in. You know what they said? Oh, that's where I sit. Thank you, Lord. That's where I sit. There's my sweater left over there from early March. It's been 12 weeks. We've not been in the house of God. We ought to love the sanctuary. We ought to love the people in the sanctuary. We ought to love worshiping in the sanctuary. There's something that God designed the church that nothing else will ever take its place. Love for the saints, love for the sanctuary. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Does he know you by acceptance? Does he know you by associations, who you're running with? Does Jesus know you? Do you show Jesus you know him with who you're running with? I'm not talking about being mean to nobody. I'm talking about being better than nobody. But you can't hang out in the clubs and be happy if you're saved. See, what I'm preaching this morning is truth. When Jesus moves in, he'll change your life. I'll give you this example. You ask my wife, there was nobody in the country loved fishing more than I did, late 70s, early 80s. It was unbelievable. My boat and my truck was worth more than what I lived in. Can somebody say amen? Does anybody live with a redneck like that? You can throw your hand up this morning. I mean, I had my priorities right. But when I got saved, you wouldn't believe the people that would call me, let's go to West Point Saturday morning. But when I got saved, it's just like, we didn't even have cell phones then, just like somebody clipped my phone line. See, birds of a feather flock together. And you can justify what you're doing. You can come up with every excuse imaginable. I just want to tell you something. When Jesus moves in you, He'll change you. Oh, preacher, we love Facebook so good. We're not going to come back to church ever. Nothing will ever take place of congregating at the church. Nothing. Nothing. You know, a few Sunday mornings, I come in here dragging. Brother Chris is good enough to be here and set that video up for me. And be two or three here. And I left here. And Brother Mike, Brother Jamie, this is what I never realized about the church. Fellowship is so important. Just seeing people. Even though I come to church and preach to a camera, I hadn't been to church. But I'm glad I've been to church this morning. Miss Emily, won't you come? You see, does Jesus know you by acceptance? Does He know you by associations? Does Jesus know you by actions? Jesus said something right here, and I want y'all to see this. You've probably not heard it in a long, long time. I want you to see what Jesus said. Matthew 3, verse number 8. I seen this yesterday, and I studied that. I want to give you this thought, and I'm done preaching. Look at Matthew 3, verse number 8. Matthew 3, verse number 8. Does Jesus know you? Now, John the Baptist has come on the scene preaching. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. This world's always been a wilderness. Nothing's changed. And look, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Verse 7. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He said, you bunch of religious folks, who told you you was a sinner? Here it is, verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. Does Jesus know you by fruits? By your actions, the fruits that are meet? This is what it means, that phrase, fruits that are meet. Don't ever forget this. It means conduct suitable to or consistent with. In other words, if you say that you are saved and you've repented before God, there are some fruits that go with that repentance. Does Jesus know you by acceptance? Have you ever received Him? It'd be a good morning. Does Jesus know you by your associations? Are you affiliated with the church? Are you kidding me? You say you're saved and you're not affiliated with the church? Are you kidding me? You know something that has amazed me that people believe in church enough? Did you know through 12 weeks of pandemic and no church, the people of God at this ministry has kept their giving in such an order that this ministry's not missed a lick. That lets me know that there's some people that's got fruit. They just keep doing what they've been taught to do. Your actions, fruit. Not only fruit meat, but fruit manifests. Love, kindness. Fruit ministered. Galatians 5. Then, I want to say this. I know that I'd never get all this out there and preach today, but I'm done preaching.